And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. It's our monthly gardening show. It's been a while since we've talked about gardening. Haven't had much reason to in our winter season here in the Ohio Valley. But we've got a full hour of your calls and your emails at 513-419-7100 or email us talk at wvxu.org. We are joined today by Campbell County Extension Office Agent Sarah Stoll. She joins us via Zoom. Sarah, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Also with us on the phone is Boone County Extension Office Agent David Kester. Hi, David. Do we have David up?
Hello.
Hi, David. So glad you're with us. So Sarah and David are with us for the full hour. I know our listeners who enjoy this particular monthly program so much are chomping at the bit with their questions, their comments, their concerns, their successes that they want to share with us. So operators are standing by at 513-419-7100. And again, you could email talk at wvxu.org. If you'd like, you can also look us up on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll look for your comments and your tweets there. So Sarah, David, so glad to have you back on the program today. It's been a bit of a winter recently, a little mild at first, but we got hammered in recent weeks, though it's a little warmer out there now. So as always, we set the scene for what people should be doing about right now in this neck of the woods as it relates to their gardening and their landscaping plans for either the current season or the upcoming season. Sarah, we'll start with you. It is February the 24th. It's a little messy out there still, a little wet, a little leftover snow. What should people be doing if they're looking out their window forlornly, waiting for the days when the land is green again?
Soaking up that vitamin D for sure. Getting out there in the sun. And you should have already had purchased seeds, but you can start some of your seeds at home. And we actually have a class coming up next week about that. So if you need more information about that, go on our website. But yeah, seed starting is a great activity to be doing. And if you haven't done so already, getting your lawnmower and all your tools ready, cleaned, sharpened, hoses ready. Hopefully you've done most of that at the end of the season last year. And then, of course, getting your house plants ready, checking those, continuously looking for insects. But hopefully in the next month or so, we'll be transitioning the house plants outside. You'll be planting some vegetables here soon as well, if you haven't done so already, like your cool season crops. But yeah.
So Sarah and David, as you both know, I am not a gardening expert, but I do have the great privilege of hosting this program each month. And I very much enjoy it because you all are so smart about these things. But David, I was reading online as I try to prepare to have a few things to talk about when we do this each month, that this might be a good time, though the weather's not great necessarily for growing outside yet, that, you know, if you're planning to have a garden this year, maybe some sketches, some plotting, some figuring out what size garden you might want to have. Can you share some tips on those early stage plans?
Boy, I think that's just a great idea because every good garden starts with a great plan, and it's a wonderful time to do that. You know, you've been inundated with all those seed catalogs and all the nursery catalogs are coming to your house, and you know, you look through, and I do say. Do think every description of every plant and every seed variety that's out there, it's just the best thing in the world. And of course, we know that not all of them are going to be great for us in this area, but really taking a look at things and deciding which ones you want to grow, ordering those. A lot of them do have to be mail ordered if you want some of the newer things, but I think it's a great time to do that. And it's also, you know, you need to be thinking about that soil and maybe improving it a little bit, getting some organic matter in there and tilling that in when the weather's right. Don't do it before the soil's ready for you to do that, but work that material in and just kind of get your plans together. As Sarah said, you know, it's a great time to get equipment, and it's also a great time to visit some of your nurseries if you're thinking about doing some landscaping in the spring. It's a real good idea to take them some pictures, and possibly a lot of our nurseries will do a sketch and a plan for you if you let them do the installation and or buy the plants from them. So that's a, you know, having a professional plan is a great way to start on landscaping for the home.
The number to call to join our conversation with your questions or comments or advice of your own is 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org. Sarah Stoles from the Campbell County Extension Office and David Kester from the Boone County Extension Office are our guests for the full hour, taking all of your questions and your comments about gardening. Longtime listeners of this program who listen intently have probably heard me reference my own struggle with houseplants, y'all. And I think when I took over this seat as host of this program 2 years ago this month, actually, we talked about how I had recently killed a weeping pussy willow because I had it in the wrong place for too long of the wrong time. But you all, you two in particular, are familiar with my money tree and how pathetic it was starting to look, and you diagnosed it. And it turns out you all were correct. It was dead. And so I just wanted to give you all the update that the money tree did not survive the winter. I have since replaced it with another plant. It's, I don't know, it just looks like a plant to me. It's green, it has leaves. And I got that from Conrad Thede, one of our fabulous coworkers here at Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm keeping a close eye on it because I'm determined to have this survive, and I don't want to have to send you all pictures of a fading plant. So,
Michael, there's a quote from I think a famous horticulturist who said, "You know, I consider every plant hardy until I have killed it myself."
Well, that makes me feel a little bit complicit in the death of that money tree, though I did love it so much, mostly for the superstition around it. I like that sort of thing. And it was lovely at one time. It was sad to watch it fade away. We are getting emails and calls already. We want to get you in line at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We'll turn to some of those questions and comments just ahead. As far as houseplants go, Sarah, if we were to make a visit to one of our local nurseries, is there any particular plant that we should see an abundance of just based on the time of year that it is?
Yeah, a lot of our nurseries. Oh, and by the way, Michael, I would love to have a photo of your plant, mysterious plant.
Just called a plant.
I don't know about that, but I want to see a picture if you don't mind sharing, and we can give a name to this plant and then see how, you know, give you some tips for it, because not all plants are the same. So it's always choosing the right plant for the right site. So, you know, low light, you know, more sunlight, you know, fertilization, watering. So a lot of our succulents, for example, which, you know, the last few years, they have just exploded with popularity. They like more of a drier soil or media, I should say. And, you know, some of our other house plants, foliage plants, let's see, the mother-in-law's tongue, the snake plant, the ZZ plant, the phalaenopsis. There's all different types, shapes, but they all have a little different requirements. They all don't like our winter, so we transition them indoors, but they do enjoy our summer months here. So yeah, a lot of our nurseries are starting to get those in. They usually have a good selection pretty much all year round because they are such a great gift to give any time of the year, to be honest.
Well, let me talk a little bit about the specifics related to plants, house plants, and the environment in which we live. I live in a downtown loft in downtown Covington. Yeah. I have two lovely windows overlooking Pike Street. It's a great space. At certain times of day, though, the sun, particularly in the summer, will really bake the apartment. And I think that's how I killed the weeping pussy willow, right? I had it in the window. It was lovely, and it cast a beautiful silhouette, but it managed to be cooked pretty quickly. And I didn't know any better. And I apologize for my ignorance for those of you who are screaming at me right now in your cars and your offices. And as far as the money tree goes, I don't think I had that in the right spot. I got an email from Nancy, who has a similar situation. She says, "We live in a condo, 10th floor, western exposure. What plants do you recommend for sun? And we also get a fair amount of wind."
Yeah, so sun, like I was saying, more of those succulent cacti. Think about their native origin. So again, I enjoy those because I don't have to think about it really. You just want to make sure that you use the correct soil media. They don't like your traditional potting mix. So keep that in mind because they don't like their roots to be really wet. You also may want to think about, your orchids. They enjoy that high humidity, hot sun as well. And then some of our foliage plants, they like more that filtered sunlight that I was mentioning before, like some of your mother-in-law's tongue, your most of our foliage plants, for example, they prefer more of that filtered sunlight. So I would think about your cacti. Ferns are great for more of that dampened sun as well. They do great indoors. Some of your herbs, they will do great in dampened sunlight. If you have a lot of sun this time of year, you may want to think about starting seed in that windowsill or, in that vicinity where you get all that sunlight. So, reach out if you have any ideas. Of course, go to your local nurseries and see what they have there to offer you and ask them the questions. Take a picture of the area. You also want to make sure you get spend your money in the soil and the pot, making sure that you have that drainage hole. But yeah, reach out if you have any other particular questions.
And as always, I recommend just searching online for either Campbell County Extension Office or Boone County Extension Office, and you'll find a lot of great resources, including contact info for Sarah Stoles, our guest from Campbell County, and David Kester, our guest from Boone County. Let's go to the phone lines now, where you can join us at 513-419-7100. Amy is on the line. Hi, Amy. What's your question? Question or comment?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually want to say hi to my mom, who's listening from Florida. She
awesome.
She's in the wintertime.
Well, hi, Mom.
So she called me and said, pay attention, the gardening show is back. I'm so excited. Welcome back. I wanted to talk about an MVP of my garden, which I've been so impressed with. I picked up one pansy last March because I was desperate for color. And that pansy never died. So it has been colorful and bright in my garden all through the fall, all through the wintertime, and even under the snow, it's still colorful. So I wanted to see what kind of advice you have for bringing in more pansies, when I can start thinking about putting them in the ground, if I should start from seed or if I should get some, pre-started from nurseries locally.
All right, Amy, we're going to hang up and let you and Mom in Florida listen to the answers from our guest experts here today. Thanks so much for the call, Amy, and thank you for listening. So the question is, well, first of all, she's got this super powerful pansy that has survived all of the seasons and all of its full colors, she says, even with the snow, but wants to know when's the best time, David, to take pansies from the inside and put them back out.
Well, I think pansies, they should be renamed Hemansies because they are tough and they can really, put up with all kinds of temperatures. And a lot of times these are planted in the fall and they overwinter. They'll give you some wonderful color in the fall. They overwinter and they'll come back and with gangbusters here in the spring and provide even more color. And then some of them, if they're in the right place, will survive our summers here and just become, somewhat of a perennial. You can't count on that. But now is the time. I think you should be able to go out and find some plants at various nurseries, and I wouldn't hesitate to put those out and get them in the ground. And, if you will provide them some water and maybe a little bit of shade during the hottest part of the season, the summer, they may make it through and give you some color in the fall as well.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. We turn back to the phone lines now where we find Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa. What's your question or comment?
Hi. So I planted winter rye back in November, and it hasn't come up. So I'm just curious, What do I do with the bed? Is it like something that'll come up in March, or was it supposed to have come up earlier? I'm just curious.
All right, Alyssa, I'm going to place you on hold to see if our experts might have any follow-up questions for you. Sarah, the question's about winter rye that hasn't come up. When does it usually come up? It was planted in November, Alyssa says.
Yeah, so I don't know much about that. I may have to refer this to David, but your planting date is good. They'd like to be September, October, depending upon the November temperatures. But it is a winter plant. David, do you have, I don't have much experience. I'm assuming this is more for a cover crop. That's traditionally what a lot of these ryes are used for, David.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And actually, this November, it should have been, you should have at least seen it germinate and given you some growth out there. If you don't see anything, then I'd be kind of concerned that you're not going to. But you can always leave it in the ground. The problem is that very soon you're going to want to till that or prepare that ground for planting. And November is a little late on seeding it. It should have been, you know, maybe September, October. But this year, we did have some good conditions going into November that I really would have thought that the seed would have germinated and you would have at least seen some green foliage on top of the ground. I was pretty late with mine this year, but I've got a good covering on my garden. So I'm just wondering if maybe the seed was bad or that you just had some conditions there where it didn't get established. I don't know that the seed is, unless you see some green out there, I don't think you're going to get much germination come spring from that planting.
Alyssa, does that answer your question?
I just quickly, so does it make any sense at all to just leave it and for one more season? I can not use that space for planting this year with, assuming there's a little bit of a growth, does it make any sense to just leave the seeds in the hopes that it will germ, that, you know, there will
be some growth? I think I would leave it for a while, and then I think I would then go to another cover crop if you want to leave it. One of the things that I like, it really is a warmer season crop, but buckwheat is wonderful, and it's a short season. You get the organic matter from it. You can put you can get several plantings of buckwheat and return that the top growth into the soil, and that's good. Or you could, you know, do something, one of the other cover crops. You can even get into some clovers and things like that. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. And if you don't need that space, by all means, keep it covered all winter or all summer long. Keep something growing in there. Till or incorporate that organic matter and then reseed again, and then this fall I would I'd go back with the winter rye and put that in September this year.
Alyssa, here's what we'd like you to do. If you tune in next month when we do our gardening show, call us back and give us an update on this. I think we'd like to know.
Well, thank you so much, Michael.
All right, Alyssa.
I love your show.
I appreciate that. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. 513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. We're going to take a quick break, but first I want to share an email from inside the WVXU building. This comes from our very own Jennifer Merritt, who works here in the newsroom with us. She writes, like many, we adopted a pandemic puppy that has since torn up our backyard and turned it into a mud pit. Besides reseeding, anything else we should be doing to bring our yard back to its pre-puppy glory? Sarah, can you help our colleague Jennifer with this puppy mess she's got?
Yeah, and you're not alone. So I am right in the same position as you. We adopted at the beginning of the pandemic a puppy, and, you know, running around, playing, compacted the soil, maybe even some bare spots from digging and whatnot. So, you know, the ideal time to reseed would have been in the fall of the year. Of course, we're past that. The second best time is now. And so my recommendation for you is, you know, if you still have some snow coverage on your turf, that's totally fine, because it actually will kind of protect it a little bit from the birds, as they're, you know, still scrounging for some food. But with an animal, you may need to do this in sections, because and kind of fence different areas of your yard, you know, up, because it's, you know, you want that direct seed to soil contact without any disturbance. And you want a germination and no foot traffic or a little paw traffic until you really have that first mow, when you know those roots are really anchored into that soil. You don't want to do any fertilizer at this time, because that's just going to further, aggravate any weeds of your, you know. So fall also is the best time to fertilize. But I would get with a cool season blend fescue and either broadcast that, meaning just either taking a spreader and spreading it with the machine or with your hand, or ideally you want to get a split seeder. Which it will put it right into the soil, will make like these little slits into the soil. Of course, we have quite a bit of information on all of this with variety and selections. But yeah, I would definitely want you to get some coverage on there, because as David mentioned before, even with like our vegetable gardening, we don't want bare soil. So yeah, give me a call if you have any other questions, and you and I and probably quite a few others will be doing the same thing here in the next few days.
There you go, Jen. I hope that helps your puppy problem. You know how to get a hold of Sarah or David, because you're the one who puts our web posts up for us each and every day, and we appreciate that. So good luck with that. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, back with our monthly gardening show. We're joined by local experts, Campbell County Extension Office Agent Sarah Stoles. Hi, Sarah.
Hey.
And Boone County Extension Office Agent David Kester. Hi, David.
Hello.
And we want you to join us at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Earlier in the program, we got a call from Allison, who left a message saying she's moving to a shady house. Which I think could mean a couple things if my neighborhood is any indication. But I think she's talking about sunlight, moving to a shady house, terrible with container planting. What is she doing wrong? She wants to know. She writes, I'm in a forest now. Would love to hear about forest gardening. Which one of you could help with that?
Wow. You know, I almost think she might be best going to a really good landscape nursery and asking them what kind of things. And there are all kinds of apps that you can use with your phone to actually determine how much sunlight you're getting into this space during different parts of the day. And it'll kind of give you a guide on what plants you ought to be selecting. Dry shade is really tough, but sounds like maybe this is more of a moist environment, and there should be just a lot of different plants that she can incorporate there, but she may need somebody who has some experience in landscape design and that can come out and just take a look at the site. And I know that doesn't, you know, that's not something that everybody can do, but sometimes starting off with a professional advice is really worth the expenditure.
Okay, so then my request would be for Allison to perhaps look either you up, David Kester, or
sure,
Sarah Stoles, to find a recommendation on how to proceed with that. So again, Allison, look up the Campbell County Extension Office or the Boone County Extension Office, and they will be happy to help connect you on your new effort to forest garden.
Michael, if that's okay.
Sure, Sarah.
With these shade gardens or forest gardens, I really enjoy, you know, bringing light to the garden by using plants that have white in them. There's a lot of shade tolerant plants or ferns with some variegated. Solomon seal, for example, has a variegated version. So tones of grays, greens, and whites really brightens up that area, especially in the evening. So if this is a space that maybe you can add a bench or near a front porch or a back, wherever it is, if you're going to be enjoying this in the evening, it's amazing if you use those just very simple tones and different textures from ferns and different art pieces, logs and things like that. It can really, really add a lot of, excitement into the landscape. So, but yes, call if you have any other questions.
All right.
Michael, sometimes, you know, a certified arborist can come in and actually do some really prudent pruning and kind of allow those trees to emit some light through their foliage. And it can be done, you know, non-aggressively, so that you're not ripping out trees, but you're just doing a little bit of thinning. And by a certified arborist, they can do that kind of work.
Awesome advice. Allison, get in touch with the Extension office, and hopefully they will lead you in the right direction. We'll go back to the phone lines now where we find Dale. Hi, Dale. What's your question or comment?
Hi there. Just the previous caller, I was thinking hostas might work on her area too.
Interesting.
My concern is I have a greenhouse solarium on the front of my house with over 100 tropical plants, and I've never had this problem before. A bag of soil brought in some soil gnats, and they have infested all over the place, and it's like driving me crazy. I bought all these little yellow sticky things, 48 of them, and when those things fill up, it's like, where on earth did these all come from? And I talked to my bug people, and they said they would have to spray or put granules, but I can't do that in the greenhouse because they have two ponds in there with fish.
Okay. Well, Dale, stand by. I'm going to place you on hold in case there's some follow-up questions. Sarah, David, can you help Dale with these soil gnats in the greenhouse?
Yeah, so a lot of times we see these noxious pests when the soil is really is wet. So, and also if you have any saucers that is collecting, you know, the water that is penetrating through the soil. So making sure that those environments are dry. In fact, you know, tropical plants, house plants. I like to keep plants on the drier side. I know some plants, for example, like the prayer plant, you know, it may show some signs of wilting, but as soon as you give it some water, it will bounce right back. I would rather you have more dry soil than wet soil or moist soil. So maybe try that, because that's going to, you know, interfere with their life cycle. You can put some horticulture soap, which is labeled for house plants, and you can buy that at any box store or nursery. That's no problem at all, but greater success with just backing off on the water.
Dale, was that helpful?
Well, I am not sure because I don't water very often, but I know in some of the more moist things. I've got cabbage growing out there in pots, and the cabbage seems to be drawing them in the most.
Yeah. I don't know. This is probably not a great recommendation, but I'm sorry this has happened to you, but obviously the weather is going to get a little bit better, and you could take a lot of those plants outside and treat outside and then put them back in. Or I don't know if there's any chance that you could treat and cover your ponds up while treating. But, I think it's just a really good thing about sanitation and how careful we've got to be in those environments to bring things in and to really inspect plants before you bring them home. Sarah and I have toured some nurseries and some greenhouses operations where they do not let you into their houses because of contamination issues. And some of them will actually, they have foot baths and things that you have to do your boots in and things like that before you can enter into their greenhouses. And, one insect can, of course, become millions and very quickly.
There may be some beneficial insects that can be released. So I would be curious if you can send me a picture of this environment, and there may be some beneficial insects that can be purchased and then released that will feed on the different life stages of the insects. So, for example, lady beetle or ladybugs will feed on aphids, and that does well in greenhouse settings, solarium settings, and we release the other beneficial insects as well into our landscape. I would be happy to help identifying and then getting you the contacts if beneficial insects is what we need.
Dale, good luck to you. Do reach out to Sarah and try to follow up on some of that advice. And if you make progress, we'd love to hear from you next month to see how it's going. We do appreciate you listening and calling in, and we hope it works out for you.
Okay, Doug. Well, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Dale. Okay, so we're going to get through some of these phone calls. We got a bunch, and we got a bunch of emails as well. So we're going to pick up the pace a little bit to try to get through as many as we can. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at my screen right now of callers. So I got three Joes on the line. One just hung up. So now I've got two Joes. And so I'm going to go to one of these Joes. And if you are the Joe who is calling in about soil testing, you're the Joe who is now on the air. Hi, Joe, number one.
Hi, that's me.
All right.
Last year, I grew a bunch of tomatoes, and my cherry tomatoes, they looked great. They were prolific, but they just tasted awful. Now, I wanted to do some soil testing, but last year, because of COVID, Warren County wouldn't let me come in to get my things. So I was wondering if these store-bought tests are any good, and how often should you test your soil?
All right, Joe, number one, we're going to hang up and let our experts answer that question for you. David or Sarah, soil testing, store-bought?
Well, Joe, I think... you might want to try calling Warren County again and just see if there isn't some way that you can drop it off on their porch or something like that with the information needed. I think they should be able to do that, and really that would be a great way to start. The soil test kits that you buy at the locally, they're not great. We have actually tested those against university or private labs where we send our samples in, and they're not nearly as accurate as what a laboratory can do for you. So I would try to see if there's some way that you can't get a soil sample done through your extension office. There are some private labs that you can send those to. I know that there's several online that you can look at, and they'll tell you exactly, you know, what kind of sample they want. And obviously, the sooner that you can get those into them, your sample, the sooner you're going to get your information back.
All right. Good luck to you, Joe, with that soil testing. Let's go now to Jim. Hi, Jim. What's your question or comment?
I've got milkweed established in my backyard, and I got monarchs, and I got caterpillars. It's going great. But I'm trying to spread them by seed. And 1 year I saved the seeds from the milkweed plants. I put them in a paper bag over winter. In the spring I put them in the ground, and nothing happened. So I read that you're supposed to put them in the fall. So I saved seeds again, put them in the fall, rubbed my hands together all winter like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. And in the spring, nothing. So do I need to store the seeds outside during the winter so they get cold?
All right, Jim, I'm going to place you on hold in case there's follow-up questions from our expert. Sarah, can you help Jim out with his milkweed seeds question?
Well, this is really interesting because we've been seeding, myself and Terry Turner, been seeding the last few days. And Terry confessed yesterday, and I wish I would have had this on recording, that this will be her last year trying to get milkweed to germinate. It is very challenging. And I think that is one of the reasons why it's difficult to find them locally. We actually store them in the vegetable crisper of the vegetable drawer, and then we will get them out. But we have not had great success either, so you're not alone. And I give credit, Terry is a great seed starting expert. So, and she follows all directions. I have not tried myself. So we'll be, you know, try it one more time. As far as that cold period, you may be just putting them in the refrigerator and that not freezing them, of course. You don't want to damage the seed. But some plants, or excuse me, seeds need a chilling period, stratification it's called. And so I'm not really sure about that. David, do you know anything about that?
No, the same thing that I think it's safer to store them in the refrigerator than it is outside. Not really sure, but I would think that definitely spring seeding would be the way to go with those.
Jim, I hope that was helpful for you. It doesn't sound promising, though.
Observation. They seed really great when they do it by themselves. That's just an observation.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for the call, Jim. We appreciate you listening, and good luck with your future milkweed efforts. Very quickly, I'll go to Joe now. Hi, Joe. What's your question or comment? Do we have Joe on the line?
Yes. I had a question. Last summer, mosquitoes were really bad in my yard. They were all over me immediately. What plants could I start putting in the ground soon that would get the pests away? I'd rather not spray, but I have been looking at Wonderside as well.
All right, Joe, we'll hang up and let our experts answer that question for you. Okay, y'all, what plants can Joe put in his garden, perhaps, to drive away mosquitoes that are irritating him?
Go ahead, Sarah.
First, I would think about the environment of which the mosquitoes like. So they like wet areas. A lot of times, and I was guilty of this last year, I forgot about my gutters. I forgot to clean the gutters. So sent my boyfriend up on the ladder and he cleaned them out. So start with, thinking of the bird baths or pots that are around. So cleaning and cleaning that up and making sure that things aren't staying too wet, which I know we had a lot of rain last year and they were thriving. A lot of times also rain barrels are a great habitat for mosquitoes. Plants, I'm not too sure. There have been some misconceptions of some plants to deter, though geraniums have been out and they've been bred that they have different scents that are to deter. Now, I tried this out personally, the one that smells like citronella, for example, and it smells great. Don't get me wrong, but I probably needed to be covered in the citronella plant myself, meaning that I needed one every like square inch, I felt like. So I would just look at the environment and try to, control that better. As far as plants as well, making sure that you're not overcrowding to creating too much shade. So similar to what David mentioned about getting an arborist, if there's large trees that may need to be thinned out to allow more light penetration in the landscape, that might help as well.
All right. I hope that does work out. And we've got to take a quick break. And then we're going to get back to some of these emails that are coming in. Boy, we've got a lot of emails, and I hope we can wrap those up in the lightning round that's upcoming. So we got calls from Jim and then Joe and then another Joe. And now we've got Bob, who left a message for us a little earlier here. He heard me talk about the massacre of the plants I had in the house, and I cooked them in the sun by accident. And he wanted to let me know that I could try purchasing an orange tree and that they produce very well. Is that true, David?
Yes, citrus does real well in that kind of a environment. Matter of fact, I've had a lemon tree and a lime tree for ages, and they're getting too big, but they actually will fruit. We actually, when they are in bloom, we will transfer the pollen ourselves on a little Q-tip and pollinate the flowers, and we have had very good success with getting limes and some lemons off the citrus and then during when it gets warm, say in May, they go out for a summer vacation on the back porch and they just thrive out in that environment.
My goodness, we might be having homemade tequila sunrise with fresh squeezed Covington made oranges. Stay tuned for that. We'll continue with the monthly gardening show here on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks with our monthly gardening show and our experts, Campbell County Extension Office Agent Sarah Stoles and Boone County Extension Office Agent David Kester. Y'all, we got a bunch of emails to get through in like 8 minutes to do it. So let's look at this as the lightning round and try to keep our answers as quick as possible. I'd love to get through as many of these as we can. I'm going to go through them in the order and wish they were received. Monica wrote us earlier today to say, I love the gardening show and wants to know, is there anything I can do now and into the early spring to decrease the chance of chiggers late in the summer?
Oh, boy. Mowing, start with that. I would just scout for them. If you, there are insecticides, but I just don't know. You know, some years you'll they'll be prevalent and really a pain, and then other years you may not see them. And I would just, I think I would really wait and see what kind of a year it's going to be, and then you can look at some treatments.
Good luck, Monica. I hope the chiggers are low in your neck of the woods this year. I want to note that we got a note from Aaron over at the Hamilton County Soil and Water Conservation District in reference to the earlier call from a friend of ours in Warren County who says he was having trouble getting a soil test. He says if local residents need to test their soil, they can contact the Hamilton County Soil and Water Conservation District to get a soil test kit that will be processed by Penn State. Penn State charges $9 for basic soil fertility, he says. So go to the Hamilton County Soil and Water Conservation District. Just search for that online and you'll find their website. It's hcswcd.org. Thanks for the tip, Aaron. We really do appreciate that. Some earlier emails that we got as the day was getting started here. We heard from Shannon, who says, we were listening to your last gardening show, and my husband became inspired by a comment that greens, like lettuce, could last into the winter if protected. He took to covering our lettuce and cilantro every night and finally built a cold frame with things we had in the garage, old shelving and window sashes. She writes, our lettuce and cilantro are still going strong. Fresh salad tonight. Well, bon appetit, Shannon, to you and your husband. Congrats on that, and thanks for listening to the program. Barbara writes, when my son shoveled snow, he decided to dump it on my lilac bush and my azalea bush. So for weeks now, both bushes have been completely buried inside a mountain of snow. I'm afraid that being buried in a snow mountain froze them to death and they will be dead. What do you think? Can they survive? And will they bloom this spring? Sarah, can you help Barbara with this question?
Yeah, actually, snow is like a blanket, so it protects the plant. Ice is the danger part. Ice actually will burn off flower buds, for example. And so, no, snow is not a bad thing. In fact, it helps plants. And then as it melts, like on the day like today and yesterday, it's a slow release of water. So it should be totally fine. Unless there was any injury and like freezing and thawing could occur with the bark. But overall, I say you're totally fine. So just look forward to those beautiful blooms this spring and summer.
Barbara, it sounds like your son might have done you a solid, unless there was ice involved, in which case he should be grounded. So good luck to you. And we hope to hear about how it turns out. Thanks for the email. Pam emailed us to say, hi, I planted some bulbs, crocuses, daffodils, tulips, and hyacinths in pots and put them in our garage. Some of them are sprouting. When should I move them outside? David?
Well, I would bring them inside and enjoy them inside the house. You did everything right. And now that they're starting to grow, you can bring them inside and enjoy those pots in the inside and get some earliness. They should be in full bloom in March, so you can bring them inside.
I agree, David. Why go outside when you can stay inside? It's an excellent piece of advice. Appreciate that. Matt wrote us a little earlier and says, I was wanting to know, when is the best time to plant my elephant ear bulbs in banana trees, and what is the best place to plant them?
Yeah, so we have quite a few of those as well. Right now we have those plants indoors in containers with soil. We water them maybe once every few weeks. Again, not totally dormant. So we'll cut the current foliage back. And then once the soil temperature consistently stays at or above 55 degrees, that's when we will start planting them. We will transition quite a few of them out as well to get them acclimated to the warmer temperatures. But keep in mind, there is a difference between soil temperature and atmospheric temperature. Soil does not fluctuate as much as the atmospheric temperature. So keep in mind, cooler temperatures in the evening and then during the day, an atmospheric, but the soil is really where it's at. You want to make sure that it's above that 55, 60 degree. And there are tools for that. UK Meteorology has a wonderful tool that showcases the whole state in a 24-hour soil temperature. So reach out and we'll, you're not ready yet, I'll tell you that. So we usually wait till after the last frost date, which is May 15th, generally in the northern Kentucky, greater Cincinnati area. So you don't, it will be past then to let you know.
All right, Matt. So look up the Campbell County Extension Office or the Boone County Extension Office, and Sarah and David will be able to help you further. Thanks for the email. Tiffany wrote us to say, my son would love a Venus flytrap. Any tips for keeping one as a houseplant? That sounds fun. David?
Very easy to do. You can mail order those, but you can also find them at area nurseries and garden centers, and they'll probably have pitcher plants and sundew plants, but you can also go online and mail order them, and they usually come with it's like a small bulb, and you put it takes sphagnum peat moss, not regular peat moss, and got to be a very humid environment, and you can feed them insects, but you really have to do that. I guess it's like meat for us. We don't have to have it. And flies for a Venus flytrap are not required. They get most of their nutrients from the soil or the sphagnum peat moss. But really a lot of good information about how to grow them is online.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. Good luck with that. I hope your son likes his plant if you decide to get him one. All right, guys, we got about a minute left, and I want to get through three of these. Linda writes, when can I plant dwarf thyme?
So a lot of those herbs out into the landscape, I'm assuming you want to wait until after the danger of frost again, May 15th-ish. So all of our herbs, our annuals, you want to wait until after that. That also includes like our ornamental steppables, for example. You want to wait until the danger of frost is past us.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Last one that I can get to, if you did email us and we didn't get to your question, I'm going to forward them on to Sarah and David. They've been so kind recently to respond individually to you all for your help. Or you can wait till next month and write us again. Sonia writes, and I've only got a few seconds. I have a big backyard garden with vegetables and fruit trees and berries. I'm considering getting into more permaculture, but definitely into companion planting. What are some of your favorite companion plantings?
Oh, boy. I'm not an expert on that. And there's a Permaculture Institute here in Cincinnati, and there's also just some great books out there on permaculture, and I would consult those. I'm just not I'm not up on all that, and I think, to my knowledge, that'd be the best source for her.
Well, if we didn't get to your emails today, they are already on the way to the inboxes of Sarah and David. So hopefully they will take some time to get back to you. And we do appreciate that. Sarah Stolz from the Campbell County Extension Office, David Kester from the Boone County Extension Office. Always fun every month to have y'all on. And I hope we talk again soon. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.